Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwarka, Text Number 9. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O lotus-eyed Lord, whenever you go away to Mathura, Vrindavan, or Hastinapur to meet your friends and relatives, every moment of your absence seems like a million years. O infallible one, at that time, our eyes become useless, as if bereft of sun. Purport, we all proud of our material senses for making experiments to determine the existence of God, but we forget that our senses are not absolute by themselves. We can only act under certain conditions. For example, our eyes, as long as the sun is there, our eyes are useful to a certain extent. But in the absence of sunshine, the eyes are useless. Lord Sri Krishna, being the primeval Lord, the supreme truth, is compared to the sun. Without him, all our knowledge is either false or partial. The opposite of the sun is the darkness, and similarly the opposite of Krishna is maya or illusion. The devotees of the Lord can see everything in true perspective due to the light disseminated by Lord Krishna. By the grace of the Lord, the pure devotee cannot be in darkness of ignorance. Therefore, it is necessary that we must always be in the sight of Lord Krishna so that we can see both ourselves and the Lord with his different energies. As we cannot see anything in the absence of the sun, so also we cannot see anything, including our own self, without the factual presence of the Lord. Without him, all our knowledge is covered by illusion. Yaryam bujaksha pasasara bhavavan kuran madun vata suridrikshaya tadravda koti pratima shinobhaved ravim vinakshnor iva nastavachuta. O lotus-eyed Lord, whenever you go away to Mathura, Vrindavan, or Hastinapur to meet your friends and relatives, every moment your absence seems like a million years. O infallible one, at that time, our eyes become useless, as if bereft of sun. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Budaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tiramane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Vajarne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskadya De Sitarne. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar Yahun Krishna Tahun Maya Haya Andhakar. That maya is compared to darkness, and Krishna is compared to the sun. That as soon as one is in the light of the sun, then one can see things as they are. And as soon as one turns his back to the sun, then immediately one is in darkness. This is the basic philosophy, that to see things means to see things in relationship to Krishna. And when one fails to see things in relation to Krishna, that is called maya, that which is not. Of course, seeing things in relation to Krishna has been explained in the Bhagavatam. Vedanti tattva tattva vidas tattva gyan tattva yaj gyanam advayam prameti param atmeti bhagavan iti shabdite. So this is called Sambandha Tattva, Sambandha Gyan, that to see things means to see things in relationship either to Brahman, to Paramatma, or to Bhagavan. And basically, Krishna has explained in the Bhagavad Gita how we can learn to discriminate on the basis of these three different stages of self-realization. How we can understand that we're not this body, that we're a spiritual being, how we can understand the all-pervading spiritual being, Paramatma, and how we can understand Krishna, who's playing his flute and enjoying with the devotees in Goloka Vrindavan. So this is called knowledge, tattva, and anything beyond this, Krishna said, ultimately is not knowledge. Of course, he said in the Bhagavad Gita what knowledge is, at least the process of knowledge. He says the process of knowledge begins with Amadi Dvam, Adambi Dvam, Ahimsa, Shanti, Arjavam. So this Amadi Dvam, this false conception that I am this body, and therefore I am something special, is called ignorance. Because Krishna says, except for engaging the process of knowledge, one is engaging the process of ignorance. So if one thinks himself to be the body, one thinks himself to be the doer of the activities, one thinks himself to be independent of the laws of nature or the controller of the laws of nature, this is called ignorance. Therefore, Krishna says, ekartrivam sarva naiva tasya kritena artho na kritena ha kaschina sarva bhuteshu ekartrivam sarva naiva tasya kritena artho na kritena ha kaschina sarva bhuteshu kaschid artha vipashaya. But even probably better than that is yukta karma palam tyaktva shantim atno dinayashikim ayukta karma karena pale sakti nabhadite. That the steadily devoted soul attains unadulterated peace because he offers all activities to me. But the person is greedy for the fruits of his activities, he becomes entangled. So to know Krishna, one has to know who Krishna is and accept who he is. Krishna says, aham sarvasya pravavo matat sarvam pravartate, that I am the source of everything. And he also says that everything belongs to me. Bhotram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshram suridam sarva bhutanam gyatvam mam shantim richati. So to accept that everything belongs to Krishna, and therefore everything should be utilized in Krishna's service, and that Krishna is ultimately the only one who can benefit any of us, this is the way of becoming free from illusion. But as soon as one thinks that one is independent from Krishna, or that one can benefit others independently of Krishna, or that there's some other goal in life other than to satisfy Krishna, then one is subjected to the influence of Maya, called illusion. So sarva yukta karma palam tyaktva. Yukta means to be engaged in Krishna's service, to be connected to Krishna. Yukta karma palam. So karma, there's always some result of what we're doing. Tyaktva. But generally people are attached to what they're doing. They're attached to what they're doing. They're attached to the results of their doing. At least, the minimum, they want someone to walk along and say, hey, that's nice what you're doing. People are at least attached that much. They want, even if they go out and sacrifice their life for their country, they want at least that someone will put a little flag over their grave and say something nice about them. Something. Something has to be there. But yukta karma palam tyaktva shantim apnoti naishtikim. Unfortunately, as long as we're attached to the results of what we're doing, we're always in anxiety. Will I actually get that result? Or maybe I'll get a bad result. The extreme, of course, is if you bet your money on a horse, you're worried whether the horse is going to come in first, or else you're going to lose all your money. So that's the extreme, worrying about the results of your work. But if we're betting on this body or on someone else's body, that's also a gamble. In the material world, it's a gamble. Unfortunately, everyone who gambles in the material world, they can't win and they can't break even. Therefore, everyone is in anxiety what the future will be, because history has already shown us what the future is. And it's not what we desire. Therefore, yukta karma palam tyaktva shantim apnoti naishtakim ayukta karma palena. So ayukta, one who's not in harmony with Krishna, one who's not engaged in devotional service, ayukta kama, one who's desiring karena, the results of his activities, pale sakto nabadite. In the results, he becomes entangled. His mind becomes bewildered by all kinds of anxiety about what's going to happen. Either good, he's anxious something nice will happen, or he's anxious something bad will happen. Therefore, sarva karmani manasa sanyas yaste sukhamvasi naiva dvare pare dehi naiva korvandakarya. So, sarva karmani manasa. So, everything depends on our mind, our mental attitude. Our attitude, so that's called manasa, the mind. Sarva karmani manasa sanyas yaste. So the mentality of the devotee is sanyas, renouncing for Krishna. Whatever we're doing just to please Krishna, and we're doing something that's pleasing to Krishna. So sanyas yaste sukham vasi. Then he becomes happy. Naiva dvare, because within this body, naiva dvare means that there are nine gates. The eyes are gates, the ears are gates, the mouth is a gate, the nostrils are gates. There's a lot of gates in the body. There are nine of them. Naiva dvare pare dehi. So, the city, Pura, or is a city, Dehi, the embodied soul, is living in the city of nine gates. Naiva dvare pare dehi, naiva korvan. So he realizes that as soon as I start desiring something, then I become the cause of the results. Although we're not directly doing anything in this material body, but because of our desire, we're becoming responsible for what happens. After all, there's a big material world going on out here. Krishna says, I'm not responsible. Material energy says, I'm just doing my duty. So, who's responsible? Who's the criminal we have to capture and hunt down and persecute or prosecute? So, Krishna says that when the living entity desires, of course we think, well, what to do? I gotta desire. I can't stop desiring. But Krishna says as soon as we start desiring, and not in relation to Krishna, then we become responsible for what happens. So when he desires in relation to Krishna, then he realizes that actually, I'm not responsible. Because I'm just doing what Krishna tells me to do or desires me to do. Therefore, my desires will no longer cause reactions. Therefore, he becomes happily situated in the city of the nine gates, the material body, neither working nor causing work to be done. Nakartari vandakarmani laukasya sriduti pravo nakarma palasam yogam svabhavas tupavartate. Notice the Supreme Spirit, the living entity, master of the city of his body, does not create activities, nor does he create the results of activities, nor does it cause anyone else to act. He realizes that this is all done by the material nature. In other words, if we sincerely work to please Krishna according to what Krishna wants, then these things we realize, that I'm not doing anything, I'm not the cause of other people doing things. In other words, one becomes free from all kinds of anxiety. But as soon as we want to be the cause of the work, as soon as we want to take the credit for the work, as soon as we're anxious what the results of the work will be, as soon as we don't do the work for Krishna, then we think ourselves to be the doer, we think ourselves to be responsible for what happens, we think we're causing other people to do things. And therefore we're full of anxiety. But we see in the case of someone like Jad Bharat, after going through a lot of bad experience in the material world, although he was the emperor of the world, and retired at an early age in order to get free from his entanglements and to dedicate his life in Krishna consciousness, he simplified his life, first of all. Instead of having unlimited wealth and opulence and family members. He went to the forest and he got a little shack and he just chanted Hare Krishna. But somehow or another, he became compassionate to a little deer, became attracted to the deer. Ooh, glue, glue, glue. So cute. that little smile, he just entered into his heart. And when the deer kissed him, it was love. So then he became completely entangled in the deer. And so much so that at the end of his life, he became a deer. And then he had a little deer body and he had to eat leaves and he became completely frustrated. He was in ecstasy, practically he had reached the goal and now he's a deer. So he vowed that he went to Pulaha Ashram. He spent his life simply hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, bowing down before the sages there that were reciting the Bhagavatam. And in the next lifetime, he became Jai Bharat. And he said, I'm not going to take credit for doing anything. I'm just going to focus my mind upon Krishna. So much so that although he was born in a Brahminical family, his father tried to teach him Gayatri Mantra, tried to teach him the different samskaras. He wouldn't have anything to do with anything. He was just thinking about Krishna. So his father thought he was useless. His brothers thought he was useless. Even they took him to kill him, the dacoits who took him to sacrifice him before Goddess Kali found out that he wasn't even worthy of being sacrificed. As a matter of fact, they got into little problems themselves. And finally the king engaged him in the service of his palanquin, and he had nothing to do with any of these things. That's called renunciation. Of course, we cannot imitate Jad Bharat. As soon as someone say, hey, why are you out of step? I'm not out of step. I'm perfectly in step. So we cannot imitate such personalities, but we can see to the extent that one can become aloof from external affairs by his life, by becoming completely absorbed in thinking about Krishna. And then Krishna explains, Nadate kasachit papam, na papam sikritum vibhum, agyanena vritam jnana, tena muyanti jantava. That we should understand that Krishna says, don't blame me. I am not the cause of either the sinful or the pious activities of living entities. The embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. So in the material world, people say that pious activities are very nice and that impious activities are very bad. If someone comes and puts their hand in your pocket and steals money from you, then you say that this is not very nice. Why did you do this? And if someone puts their hand in your pocket and puts money into it, you say, oh, this is very nice. Why don't you do this again? So one we call sinful, the other we call impious activity or pious activities. But Krishna says either sinful or pious activities, they have their results, and their results are not desirable. Of course, from our relative position, we may think that if someone puts money in my pocket, well, that will be very nice. It will be nice for him, and it's nice for me. And if someone takes money out of my pocket, then it's not nice for me, although it may be nice for him. But he'll ultimately get a bad reaction for it. So we may think in the relative world, but the result of doing anything in the world, even if one goes to the heavenly planets and enjoys there, first of all, Krishna says, kaimais tais taridigyana, that this is only due to material desire. It's all based upon material desire, which in itself is not very nice. But then he says, trai vidyamam samapa putapapa jagna ishva swargatim pratariyante te punya asadya sarandilokam ashnanti divyam divi deva bhogan. Although when they go up to the heavenly planets, they may enjoy vast heavenly sense pleasure for many, many years of the demigods, But ultimately, te tam bhuktva swarga loka vishalam shrine punya marti loka vishanti. Eventually he falls down to the material world again, to this mortal world again, and therefore, evam trai dharam anaprapanam katagatam kama kama labhate. He worked so hard to get an elevated position, and now he's back, you know, maybe downtown Liège somewhere, you know, selling something. Tulips or something. So he worked so hard for so many years, did so many pious activities, he went to the heavenly planets, he enjoyed his vacation for 2 weeks, and now he's back in, you know, downtown Liège selling tulips. So, it's just like phantasmagoria. Just like if you work very hard throughout for 50 weeks during the year, and for 2 weeks you go on your vacation, and the vacation, after the vacation, you figure, I need another vacation. The vacation wasn't enough. And it hardly seemed working so hard for 50 weeks during the year to get your 2 week vacation. So the material world is such that even in the heavenly planets, Krishna says, they're not actually happy. Sometimes the devotees make a big thing, you know, whether the devotees are happy or not by following the process. Well, in the material world, anyone who's in material consciousness, no one here is happy. Even in the heavenly planets, they're not ultimately happy because they're in anxiety what the future will be. And everyone knows the future will be that we'll die, and that's not very nice. So even we get a very nice result from our work, still we won't become satisfied. So Krishna says, whether you become attached to pious activities or you become attached to impious activities, due to that attachment, you'll have to come back and take another body. But Krishna is not responsible for the bodies that we've gotten. This is due to our attachment either to good or bad material activities. So Krishna says, jnanena tattu agyanam yeshanam nashnamatmanaha tesham adityavaj jnanam prakashiti tatvaram. When, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nations is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So when we can see that although Krishna is controlling everything in the material world, everything is under his control, not a blade of grass is moving without Krishna's sanction, but still Krishna is completely aloof, he only has our benefit in mind, he loves everyone, he wants everyone to get the best, which is to go back to Godhead, that it is only our stubborn obstinacy not to surrender to Krishna that causes us either to take auspicious or inauspicious bodies with the material world. When one can see like that, then he doesn't discredit God for what's going on within the material world. And then, tad bhuryas tad atmanas tad nishtas tad parayanaha putam gacchan yachu putam achim agatim tad bhuryas tad atmanas tad nishtas tad parayana gacham yatmana avritim gyananya duta kama shaha. When one's faith, mind, and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of all misgivings and thus proceeds straight on the path of self-realization. So understanding Krishna, how he's supremely, absolutely good and nice, and that the only bad thing is our desire to be apart from Krishna, then one can fix oneself completely in Krishna consciousness. And when one fixes oneself in Krishna consciousness, then one can understand everything properly. Otherwise, then there'll be so many doubts and misconceptions about who God is, or who I am, why I'm here, why I'm suffering, how I can become happy. So many doubts will be there that one will always be searching for knowledge, but in the material world, Krishna says, no one will find knowledge apart from Krishna. Just like Krishna himself is happiness, and if one thinks that he's happy outside of Krishna consciousness, then he's simply living in a great delusion. If one thinks that there's another source of sun, of light, which is better than the sun, then obviously he's wrong. Although people may argue and may attempt to find a better source of light than the sun, but ultimately he'll become a failure. Therefore Krishna says, Sharira yadavapnoti yatschapyu kramati shraha grihi vaitani samyati vayor ganda ivashaya. The living entity, they carry their different conceptions of life from one body to another, just like the air carries aroma, and thus they quit one kind of body and then take another one. So due to our misconceptions about who we are, who Krishna is, we have acquired different conceptions, and that's obliging us to take one body and another. Shrotram chakshu sparshanam cha, rasanam granam eva cha, adishtayam anakchanyam vishan upasevate. And thus we get a nice human body, or demigod body, or pig body, or a cockroach body. Well, nowadays we can see a lot of little ladybirds, bugs around here. I don't know if you notice, but every time I try and do something in my room, there's a ladybug there. So they were probably, you know, professors and engineers and psychologists in their next last lifetime, and now they're in a different body. So, utkramantam siddhim vapi bhunjana vagunanvita vimudo nanupa shanti pa shanti jnana chakshusha. That the foolish, Krishna says, vimudans, they cannot understand how they've gotten this present body. Or, according to their activities that they're presently doing, what kind of body they're going to get in the next lifetime. They think it's all by accident, because I'm a nice person, therefore I'm sure to get a nice destination. If you ask 99.9% of the people on the street, where are you going after you leave your body, the butcher or the baker or the candlestick maker, they all think they're going to heaven. Everyone thinks they're a nice person. They may be doing one or two things that are wrong. You know, maybe they beat their wife every, you know, day or something. But, you know, there's some reason behind it. People just don't understand the deeper meanings behind what I'm doing, especially my wife. But I'm doing it for her benefit and because, you know, these are just one or two bad things I'm doing. But I'm sure God realizes that deep within myself that I'm an actually nice person. I'm sure He's bringing me to heaven. And then one leaves his body and he says, yeah, he gets a one-way ticket to Yamaloka. And Yama kind of looks at the scorecard and says, well, you go, wait a second, do you know who I am? And Yamaraj said, yeah, we sure do know who you are. Do you know who you're going to be? Don't worry about who you were. Now let me tell you who you're going to be. So people don't realize how the material world works, although they think it's working. They'll work according to their idea. Yatantos yoginas chayana pashantyatmanivastita yatanto vyakritatmano naivan pashantyachetasaha. The endeavoring transcendentalist who is situated in self-realization can see all this clearly, but those whose eyes have not been trained, those who have not become purified, although they may try to see what's taking place through their microscope or their telescope or, you know, through so many different devices, they won't actually be able to understand the reality of this material world or how it's working. So then Krishna says, yada ditya tata katam tejo jagat pasayate kilam it's chandamasi yach tejo tat tejo vidimamakam. The splendor of the fire, the splendor of the sun, the splendor of the moon, they're all coming from me. So with a little use of our intelligence, because that's how we judge things is with our intelligence, we have to see who has created this wonderful material world. Any half-intelligent person will acknowledge there is a supreme, wonderful, intelligently wonderful person behind this material world. Gamavishajabhudani dharyam hamojasa. He's put the planets in the orbits. He's provided the moonlight to provide the juice of life for all vegetables. He's the fire digestion in our heart. He's the Paramatma giving us intelligence. So if we study from his point of view, we'll acknowledge that this person is actually the supreme and that we're ultimately have to take guidance from him. Ultimately, we have to, if we want our benefit, we have to obey him. So this is called knowledge. And Krishna says anything beyond this will put one into darkness. So we may or may not agree, but this is how the material world works. We may blame Krishna, why didn't you create it differently? But then we don't understand that this is, Krishna is absolutely intelligent and his creation is absolutely just and beneficial for everyone. It is simply rests with us to try to understand things properly, and that comes from hearing from Krishna. So this jnana chakshus, knowledge, this eyes of knowledge, this is the process that Krishna has given us to understand what to do and how to do it so that we can become benefit. Kshetra, kshetragyam enam, antara jnana chakshusha, bhuta prakriti moksham cha, yevidura yanti te param. So there's a kshetra, this body, there's a kshetra gya, the person who knows or who is the owner of the body. There are two kshetra gyans. The living entity, he's said to be the proprietor. He's responsible when he becomes independently of Krishna. And there's the Paramatma, who when the living entity surrenders to Paramatma, then Paramatma takes charge and guides him through the material energy so that ultimately he becomes liberated. He gives him the intelligence, the dhammi buddhi yogam tam. If the living entities, tesham sadatam yuktanam, vajantam priti purvakam, dadami buddhi yogam tam, yena mam upayanti te. If the living entity consistently and enthusiastically engages in Krishna's service, then Krishna more and more progressively gives him the intelligence by which he makes progress in spiritual life. Tesham eva nukam paratam, aham a jnana jam tamaha. The price to get Krishna's mercy is how consistently and how enthusiastically we're engaged in his service. That's all. Krishna is equal to everyone. It is not that he doesn't like the way I look. He doesn't like, you know, my particular, you know, he doesn't like the way I eat or something. He doesn't like me personally. There's something that we just don't get along with each other. Therefore, Krishna, although I'm sincerely engaging your service with love, still he's denying me, pushing me away, because he just doesn't like me. No, Krishna is equal to everyone. Everything depends on one's practical performance of duties in Krishna consciousness, which help one control the senses in every respect and remain and control the influence of desire and anger. Therefore, one who remains factually, one who's engaged in Krishna consciousness properly, he remains factually on the transcendental platform, or Brahman. So it depends upon our sincerity, our proper understanding of things, and then if we, with determination, with conviction, with enthusiasm, we engage in Krishna's service, then he's sure to reciprocate. And then, kshetra, kshetragyam, enam, antara, the difference, antara, jnana, chakshusha, when we'll be able to see the difference between the material energy, this body, between ourselves and the super soul, everything will be revealed. Bhuta prakriti, moksha. Therefore, our liberation from this entanglement of the material energy is assured. Bhuta prakriti, moksham cha, ye vidura yanti te param. And one is sure to approach the transcendental destination. So, I'll stop there. Thank you.
So if we have knowledge, we can see what is going on, how we know this body, how we know the doer, the super soul, and the body, and the owner of the body. But by hearing it, without having a realization within of this body, it just seems to make no sense. If you're not realizing you're not the body, if you hear about Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, if you haven't realized that you're not your body, you have no sense. You're a nonsense. Therefore, how can you understand anything that has sense? That's the beginning of knowledge. It should be quite obvious that the body is always changing, but the observer, the experiencer of the body, is always the same. So one who thinks that the body is the self, then how can he hasn't understood anything. If you take 1 + 1 and you get 3, although you may advertise yourself as a great mathematician, and do all kinds of elaborate mathematical equations after that, but because your basic principle is wrong, therefore everything else you're going to do is going to be ultimately wrong.
It seems that unless you have some realization of that before you hear Bhagavad Gita, you will
see why. If you hear Bhagavad Gita, Krishna begins with that knowledge. He says, your body's changing. Isn't that true? Can someone say their body's not changing?
Make sense unless you have some realization.
Well, that knowledge, the fact that your body's changing, doesn't make any sense. You have no realization of that. You can show me a human being who has no realization that their body's changing. You know some human being who has no realization of that. You're stuck. You don't want to admit that there's most human beings, if they're going to be actually human beings, realize they have that much intelligence that their body's changing. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty hard to get you to admit even that. But the person who's aware of the body, who had a 5-year-old body, who had a 10-year-old body, who presently has this body, and may get a future body, he's the same person. Isn't that right? Okay, so that's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Obviously, if you put on a red hat one day, a blue hat the next day, a pink hat the next day, then you're not the hat. The hat's changing, but you're not changing. So the same person has many different bodies, then he's not the body. Of course, it may be too simple for people to accept, but anyone who is a human being should be able to understand it if they are not stubborn and refuse to accept it. They should be able to understand it. Better to be 5 years old and not prejudiced than to be a great philosopher who's based their whole life on some other understanding. Anything else? Yes.
So we are not the doers, we are not in control. At the same time, by our activities, we can control them ourselves.
By our desires, we don't ultimately control, but we can. Krishna will bring about certain results because that's what we want. If we deserve it, deserve means according to how much pious, proper desires and pious activities we start up, we may have a certain merit. Well, by our desire, we create our destiny. We can't say ultimately we control, but we create the situations that we're placed in by those we're actually controlling. Just like if you did some pious activity and you go before the judge, then they give you some reward. If you do some impious activity, you go before the judge, they give you some impious result. So it's not the judge, he's the controller, but it's really according to what we've done that determines whether we get a good or bad reaction. So in the material world, if we have pious or sinful desires, that will determine whether we get a pious or simple reaction. It's our own desires.
They just come up.
No, they come up because of what we desire in the past. They're stored up there because we have a stock of desires because that's what we desired in the past. They don't come out by accident. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.